Foundations Lesson Number 1, The Word of God, Part 2. Roman numeral 2 on our outline says, "The Bible is powerful." Jesus used the Word of God to overcome the devil's temptations in the desert.
Wow.
You can see that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In that passage of Scripture, the devil tempted Jesus in three different ways. Each time, Jesus replied by saying, "It is written." He said, 1. "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." 2. "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." 3. "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Three temptations were met the same way. "It is written." If Jesus relied on God's word, how much more, then, do we need this power? The scripture compares God's word to a fire. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says, "But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Also, a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" And also a sharp double-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Also Ephesians 6:17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." If you're in a battle where the weapons being used are swords, and you have a sharp, double-edged sword at your side, if your enemy doesn't believe that your sword is a sharp, effective instrument of warfare, are you going to leave it in your sword in your scabbard? Are you going to use or not use the weapon at your disposal based on what your enemy believes? Of course not. You're going to use it because it is sharp and it is powerful. What the other person on the other side of the battle line believes about it is irrelevant. In the same way, when we are battling the kingdom of darkness, it is a good idea to speak God's truth, even if those opposing us do not believe in the Bible. Let's remember that God's ability to touch them is not restricted. God is able to use His Word to impact their lives even if they don't acknowledge its authority. God's Word is powerful. And so, on our outline, we have a list of several things that the power of the Word of God can accomplish and will accomplish. First, the power to save. 1 Peter 1. Verses 23 through 25. "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." In the summer of 1978, my father was in the hospital and I knew that his condition was serious. A friend handed me a Bible and told me that if I believed, I could always pray. As a good atheist, I didn't want to believe and I certainly didn't want to pray. But, like any good debater, I felt it would be a good idea for me at least to be familiar with my opponent's position. So, starting in mid-July of that year, I read that Bible starting at the beginning like you would any other book, just to see what it said. By the time I got to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the vision of the ram and the shaggy goat were a bit too much for me, so I skipped over to the New Testament in late August. On September 26, in my college dormitory, I asked Jesus to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. So in just under 2.5 months, there was a complete turnaround in my life spiritually. Why? By far the main reason was the power of the Word of God. God's Word is powerful to save even atheists. Next, God's Word is powerful to overcome sin. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Chuck Swindoll tells the story how he was in a city far away from home teaching at a conference. He got on the motel elevator and pressed the button for the 7th floor, which is where his room was. Just then, two scantily clad women got on the elevator. Since he was next to the floor buttons, he asked them which floor they would like to get off at. One of them seductively replied, "What about 7? Chuck later testified that right then, he didn't think of the heartache his family would have to endure if he committed adultery. He didn't even think about how doing such a thing would wreck his ministry. At that moment, the only thing that flooded his mind was the Word of God. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." He told the ladies he wasn't interested. There's power in the Word of God to overcome sin. Then there's power to set us free. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32 says, "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Lies keep us in bondage, but it's the truth of God's word that will set us free. Some people don't want to hear the truth about their own deficiencies and shortcomings. They would rather believe the lie that they are doing perfectly well than to have to deal with the truth that they need to change. By the way, we all need to change. If we would just accept the truth of what God has to say about our failings as well as our wonderful position in Him, we could be set free, because there's power in the Word of God to set us free. No addiction, no bondage, no ingrained habit is more powerful than God's message. Then, there's power to nourish us spiritually. Hebrews 5:12 through 14 says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Here, the author of the book of Hebrews is telling his readers, "Hey, you should be growing up faster than what you are. You still need milk, not solid food." The good news is that the Bible has plenty of milk in it for the newborns, plenty of meat for the mature, and all kinds of spiritually nutritious fruits and vegetables to help any of us in any situation that we could possibly find ourselves in. Regardless of where you or I may be in our spiritual development, there is food in God's holy word that will nourish us, that will help us to grow, and that will bring us closer to Him. Comparing the Word of God to food also shows us how badly we are in need of God's message. If our physical bodies do not have food for long enough, we die. We all understand how serious that is. But what food is to the body, God's message is to our spirit. If we don't feed on the Word of God, we die spiritually, and the spiritual is far more important than the physical. It's a great tragedy that some believers are starving themselves, doing great damage to their spirits by not feeding on the Word of God. Going on, the Word of God has power to produce faith in us. Romans 10:17. "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ." After having over 40 years of ministry under my belt, I can tell you that those people I have known who have read their Bibles daily, who accepted the importance of Bible reading and disciplined themselves to do so every day without fail, who would not be deterred from the priority of absorbing the Word of God, rain or shine, they had a much stronger faith than those who did not. In fact, the difference was obvious to any onlooker. Why? Because, as our scripture declares, faith comes from hearing the message. That's the most important way that our faith comes to us and grows in us. When we read God's sacred word, we hear His message. Next, God's word has power to equip us. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For 14 seasons, I worked as a professional tax return preparer. I traveled to many classes and seminars, read many periodicals, took many courses, and studied material from many websites in order to be properly equipped to do that job. As believers, our existence has great purpose, and we have been called to accomplish much. The verse we just read identifies one of those jobs as doing good works. If we want to be properly equipped for this job and other jobs as well, knowing the scripture is necessary and useful. The word of God has power to equip us. Next, the word of God has power to guide. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This verse apparently refers to someone who's trying to walk when it's dark out, so he needs light in order not to stumble. So the comparison being made is that as we walk through this life, we can avoid stumbling because God's word is like a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. We can know where we are going because the Bible gives us guidance. It's also important for us to know what God has already said, because what God has said yesterday will never contradict what He is saying today. Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, His words from yesterday will still be in harmony with His words today. So the better we know His written word, which He spoke yesterday, the better we will be able to discern what He is speaking today. Knowing the Bible well puts us in great position to more accurately hear and discern His voice today. God is a speaking God, and the words He speaks are pure, holy, and infallible. But our ears are not error-free. Knowing the Bible helps us keep on the path of the straight and narrow. There was a young couple at a large church where I was a member years ago. They were not married, but they were considering living together. So they decided to pray together that if God was not in favor of their living together in an unmarried state, that He would, within the next 10 minutes, send someone to the door. When no one came to the door within the allotted time, this couple felt they had received approval of their plans from God. They were in error. God has already said in His word, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. There are some matters of guidance we simply don't need to pray about, because God has already made His will on the subject plain in the scripture. Then, God's word has power to make us wiser than our teachers. Psalm 119, verses 99 through 100. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Now, I hope that you meditate on the word of God and obey its precepts. And because you do, if you then have more insight than your teachers, please do me a favor. Don't boast about it. That wouldn't help you or anybody else. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So even though we clearly see the power of the Word of God here, let's be humble in the way we implement it. Next, there's power to see prayer answered. John 15:7, Jesus is speaking. He says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." When we see the word "if" in Scripture, we should pay special attention. Most of God's promises to us are conditional, meaning if we do so and so, then He will do this and that. So the key to receiving these blessings is for us to do our part. God is always 100% faithful to do His part, but we have to meet the conditions in order to qualify. So, in the verse we've just read, the great promise from the Lord is that we get to ask whatever we wish and it will be given to us. That's powerful. But there's an if, and it gives two conditions that have to be met. One, we must remain in him, and two, his words must remain in us. So when his words remain in us, that helps us to be positioned to see our prayer requests answered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Going on, God's word has power to accomplish God's purposes. Isaiah 55:11. God speaking, he says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Several years ago, I got a phone call from a man I'll call Mike. I'd been Mike's pastor for maybe 2 years, and he had left our church, and I'd lost track of him. I really loved Mike. It was a real joy having him in our church. He was calling me from far away, and he wanted to encourage me. He said, "Do you remember when I was leaving your church and you tried to tell me it was a mistake? Well, I didn't listen to you then, but I want you to know that you were right. I was being stubborn and I paid for it. God's word doesn't return void. It accomplishes the purpose for which he sent it. I've remembered the things you taught me. I'm serving God today, so don't be discouraged when people don't listen. God knows how to get a hold of them later on. You just keep on doing what you're doing." When I heard that, I wanted to crawl through the phone line and give the guy the biggest hug I had. Mike was a living testimony that God's word will always accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it. It has the power to do that. And then, God's word has the power to keep us from error. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus is speaking to the Sadducees, and he replies, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Now, from this statement of Jesus, we can gather that if the Sadducees had known the scriptures and the power of God, they would not have fallen into the error they believed. God's word is truth. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, prayed with and for his disciples. You can read his prayer in John's Gospel, chapter 17. In verse 17 of that chapter, he prays, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." God's word is true and reliable, and it has the power to keep us from error. Then, on the outline I just put down, and much, much more, so that everyone would be able to see that this is not an exhaustive list. Far from it. The more you and I walk with the Lord, the more we will discover the power in his word.